At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Amazon.com. Click the link on the Podbean page. You will find the banner there. It will direct you towards Amazon.com. You can do all of your shopping. A little kickback will come to the boys at Lousy Mother Media, and we'd really appreciate it. Now enjoy the show.
Would you like to read a book? No, I don't.
I can't read.
Hello and welcome to this week's installment of I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
I'm Tony.
And returning we have...
Willis Gordon.
All right, let's dive right in. I have some news real quick.
Yeah.
That is the Pennywise. They casted the clown for the new It movie.
Yeah, the dude with that resting bitch face.
Resting bitch face.
Yeah, he always looks like he's grumpy bitchy.
He just had a stroke.
No, he's very healthy. He was in Maze Runner.
Yeah, it was that kid. He's also in We Are the Millers.
Okay.
He's the younger person from that movie. And how do you guys feel about that casting? I'm not sure. I've never seen him in another role.
He's in movies I don't watch, so I feel like I'm probably not going to watch this one.
Well, he's also about mid-20s at the best, at most, to play Pennywise, a clown, and immortal evil.
Right.
And that haunts children. It should be someone out of their 20s,
who played Tim Curry. Curry, yeah, that's what I thought.
Fuck yeah.
How old was Robert Downey Jr. when he played Charlie Chaplin?
And that worked. But I give Robert Downey Jr. a lot more praise than I would give this... Kind of a ginger nobody. I've never seen him do anything that I was like, applause that performance.
Right, yeah, but I heard that like he walked in and they were like, all right, we don't need to see anybody else. Like this kid got it. Like I heard that he killed. Yeah. So,
because you just got to find that role. Because I mean, who was Robert Downey Jr. before Chaplin? I mean, you had maybe even before Less Than Zero, because he's in Weird Science and like some other nothing movies. And, you know, he never really had a chance to shine until it's like, oh, here's something he can really do. And even then, Less Than Zero was just, oh, you live in California, your folks are rich and or famous, you go to school with a bunch of other rich people and you do a bunch of drugs. That was his fucking life.
He was like, I relate to this character
heavily. I mean, like, the first time you really get to see him, like, sink his teeth into something is Chaplin. I mean, fuck.
All right, yeah, so that's a good point. Maybe the kid just hasn't gotten the casting that, like, you know, he could to show off his chops.
I wonder how you even... I guess I wasn't there.
At the casting?
Yeah.
No, you weren't.
I thought you were.
No. Do you have any news you wanted to get into? I just thought that was kind of weird that the kid from The Maze Runner is about to be fucking Pennywise. Yeah. That's an iconic fucking role.
Opening weekend for Avengers 2.
Crushed.
Got second place.
What?
In history. To the Harry Potter.
Deathly Hallows. Yeah. Was it the second one?
Part 2, yeah. The last Harry Potter.
Yeah, without all the tent
weekend.
Walking and
it was
dancing
something like
and shit.
177 million to 195.
They jumped
so much.
I think
money.
They're at like 600 million worldwide.
Yeah, 666. I saw was the last.
That's fucking
tally.
Crazy.
And we're a week in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was released overseas
a week before,
so that's including that amount. And they made back like the
phenomenal.
First, they opened to 200 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think they opened at 190. I think.
Okay, I think it was a 250 budget.
Something.
Wow. I mean, they're going to make back fucking oodles of money. They're going to cross the billion mark probably by the end of, I want to say next week.
If Furious 7 crossed the billion mark, this is going to cross the billion
mark. Isn't that crazy that shit's just now just like hitting billions of dollars?
Well, here's why is that, I mean, social media is as powerful as it has ever been. So you're able to reach more people. You got more people getting theater things. And then you've just got franchises that are now so deep into... you know, their stride that now people who normally wouldn't have watched, you know, in the first or second installment are now coming to watch. And plus, Paul Walker, you know, blew up and burned to death. So people wanted to see that.
You want
to
see, what's the CG Paul Walker look like?
Yeah, exactly. That's really all.
And honestly, there was the actor who played, he was in Gladiator. He died during production.
Oliver Reed.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite stories.
He CG'd him. Yeah. There were scenes.
Because they had to kill him off. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know, are you familiar with Oliver Reed?
I know him from Gladiator. He was the guy that trained him that used to be the Gladiators, and he started owning them, right?
You sold me, queer giraffes. I fucking love that guy. But honestly, I just want to take a second to tell the story of how he died.
Dude up.
Oliver Reed is one of my favorite actors. He played Bill in Oliver, the older Bill Sykes in Oliver. He is in one of my favorite spy movies. He did the first full frontal male nude scene, by the way.
Oh, nice. Ever?
In film history. Wow. Yeah. It was him and another dude, and I'm trying to remember the name of the movie now. It was right around the time of The Sporting Life, but they were just wrestling, and I was like, that is some homoerotic British
it's quite
shit.
A scene to take the mantle of first. And,
yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, and he's just in some great, great cult movies. And the reason why he did not become a big leading man, he actually turned down James Bond after Sean Connery left.
Wow.
Fuck.
And the reason why he didn't get leading man roles until later in his career is that he was a drunk. Okay. He was a roaring fucking alcoholic. And he got into bar brawls and dealers. He drank, I think, 100 pints in a night one
Holy
time.
Shit.
And there's a picture of him afterwards doing a push-up on the bar where he's basically planking on his fists. Like, afterwards.
That sounds
he's
like
drunk
Death
as
Clock.
Shit.
100 beers. Yeah. 100 beers.
And he was really good friends with Keith Moon. But what happened is he got in a bar brawl early in his career and got stabbed in the face with a broken bottle.
Fuck!
And it left him a scar right down his cheek by a smile.
That's
line.
Not good for an actor.
No, it's not. So he was playing Wolfman. He was doing all these horror movie parts in heavy makeup for years. And finally, people brought him up to the spotlight. But I mean, oh my God, that guy's filmography is gorgeous. And he's a roaring alcoholic. He's a talk show favorite in England. He was. But anyway, that's the backstory on him. Him, Richard Harris, Peter O'Toole, and Oliver Reed. I mean, these guys are incredible. Richard Burton is another one who's just a drunk hellraiser. But he's on the set of Gladiator, and he's in his 60s at this point. Just barely in his 60s. And this man is still drinking like a fucking fish. Mm. So these Persian sailors come into port. And so Ridley Scott calls lunch. They go into their dressing rooms, do whatever. He goes down to the bar down by the port, and all these Persian sailors have come in, 18, 19-year-old guys. He's coming in, and I think they drank like 2 barrels of beer between them over lunch, and he drank like a bottle and a half of rum to himself.
Wow.
And the entire time he was like, he does this game where he like, they'll drink and they'll stack drinks and then they just headbutt each other until somebody submits.
Jesus Christ.
And so like, yeah, he does that, and then he's just beating these 19-year-old Persian sailors in arm wrestling just the whole time. And he does that. He's just kicking the shit out of him, drank all this shit. Everybody's laughing and having a good time. He gets up. He says, oh, shit, well, I got to get back. My lunch is almost over. He walks back, and as he's walking down the pier, he has a massive heart attack and drops dead.
Wow.
And so, Ridley Scott's like, where the fuck's Oliver? Like, and they're wondering, what's going on with him? And then they find out he just died after having the most epic lunch anyone's ever
Holy
had.
Shit. That's insane.
And he just fell over and dropped dead, and they're like, what the fuck just happened? And so
he just went for a turkey sandwich.
Yeah, and then
ended up drinking a barrel of beer.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's just incredible stories about him. I mean, him and Keith Moon are just, being great friends. Yeah. There's shit online about Keith Moon showing up to Ollie's house, because they called him Mr. England in the 70s because he was on the Stones, and Michael Caine and all these other people left England for tax purposes. He stayed.
Yeah.
And Keith Moon had his guy fly a helicopter onto his property one time. And Oliver Reed started shooting at the helicopter because he didn't know who it was. So he just took his gun and went, because that would scare any normal human being. It's just rain in your backyard. Ollie said, fuck it. He went and grabbed a rifle, ran out in the yard in his bathrobe and underwear, and just started shooting at people. Oh my God.
That's incredible. Take it down.
Yeah.
You got some news, Tone?
That's awesome. That was my news, was the second highest
my news
box office.
My news. I finished Daredevil.
Oh.
And Foggy is a bitch.
Ah, yeah. He texted me. I was in PA. And I'll get this. Foggy's a bitch. And I was like, oh, Daredevil.
You were asking me about Mickey. And I was like, from Doctor Who?
Yeah. Foggy is the Mickey Smith of Daredevil.
Okay, because Paul was like,
we were talking about Kingpin when you texted me that, though. Yeah. So I was like, what's Kingpin and Mickey? And he was like, no idea. That's really
I was
big.
Like, there is no connection to Kingpin and Mickey at all. And Foggy, he's like, there has to be.
Yeah,
Foggy. I'm like, no, I'm confused.
Foggy is the Mickey Smith of Daredevil. Yeah, all the Doctor Who listeners will get that.
Okay,
absolutely.
I ended it with, I need better context to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
And then if you would have said, oh, he meant that.
I didn't know until right now.
Okay, yeah, here we are. Now look at the clarity. Now look at us.
What'd you think of the series, though, as a whole?
I thought it was very well done. There was not enough Rosario Dawson.
yeah.
Never is.
It really isn't. I am in utter love with that woman. I really like. I named
what is that movie where she plays Clerks a junkie?
Two. Oh, my bad. Not that one.
No, it's a single word title film that she did. It was an art house film. And
oh, is it the one where she was like the rape victim? And
the
like,
box has her laying upside down on the box with her hair.
Jesus Christ! Is it scarred or some shit like
something along those lines?
And I mean, she plays a rape victim and she like goes through like depression and violence and like substance abuse and then like promiscuity and all sorts of stuff, basically trying to build herself back up after her assault. She's an incredible
amazing
actress.
Performance. Yeah.
I mean, because nobody saw that. I mean, but for the people who are casual movie fans, I mean,
you have Eagle Eye and Clerks 2 if they saw that.
Seven Pounds.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
With her and Will Smith. Excellent fucking role. I mean, she's such. And
that movie rules in general.
Also, for the circle here, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints.
Yeah.
She's not in that a whole bunch, but it's her and Robert Downey Jr. interacting a lot, and it's fucking
incredible. Fuck, I forgot she's in that, because I remember him vividly in it, because he's a main.
Because he is the grown-up Shia LaBeouf, I think. And
And
so the girl...
I always comment to him, I'm like, what the fuck is that movie?
Yeah, A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, because most of it is... most of her part in that movie is just her like standing at a window.
Yeah.
You know, and Robert Downey Jr. is down on the street talking to her. And she's fan fucking tastic in that. She's so good. I love Rosario Dawson.
Oh, hell yeah. What does she play? She's in Unstoppable with Chris Pine and Denzel. Not a big she's an integral part, but she was the most dynamic all the people ground.
Yeah, Sin City.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
She is incredible. Rent, obviously. Yes. You know, huge part.
And that's her coming into that part without doing Broadway before it.
She's incredible. I mean, she's so great. And, I mean, that's...
Men in Black 2?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Paul's I got some for
you. See, you know what, though? Because you got Kids, which was the very beginning, and then Men in Black 2.
Whoa, who is she in Kids?
Oh, fuck. What the fuck was her name in that? Look it up.
Okay.
She's there. I can't remember.
Ruby.
Yeah, she's Ruby.
Wow. And, that fucking just shattered my brain. That movie's so fucked up.
She's in that. I mean, I put her on every single par with somebody like Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Who had all the tools that they would have later when they were like 14. Like, just because me and Kate just sat down and watched Leon last night.
Oh, Leon the Professional.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Awesome.
That's funny because everyone calls it The Professional, not Leon. Yeah. That's awesome.
And we're going to talk about that more.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Luc Besson is just, all his movies look the same, which is great because they're not necessarily about all the same things or featuring the same key players, but it's like you can just tell it's him as soon as you get like a still.
I got you.
It's like, oh, there's Luc Besson. That's a Luc Besson movie.
Like, yeah. Like Michael Bay, you're like, well, a shark just blew up out of the water. Exactly. That's probably Michael Bay.
Except it's a tasteful type of signature. Yeah. You know, and that was really cool. But yeah, Rosario was great. I think whoever the guy playing Matt Murdock is very good.
Charlie Cox
is very good.
He was in Boardwalk Empire, I guess. I never watched Boardwalk.
He looks like he's Andrew Garfield's ugly cousin.
I can see that. Yeah.
Like it's weird. I don't mean to call the young man ugly, but I mean Andrew Garfield's a pretty young man. There's just
I felt like he was like a perfect Matt Murdock
man.
I heard of this really cool thing of like he has like a tenor to his voice that sounds like someone that can hear everything. He's very soft spoken, so it's almost like when he hears his voice, I heard that they've made it to like lapping of waves almost. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really cool insight into it.
Also,
second episode fight scene in the hallway, fucking mind shattering.
Here's what the music caught me, because when they did the flashback to Kingpin's childhood, it opened Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones, and I was like, oh fuck, like okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And then in a key funeral scene, I won't tell you who dies, but in a very key funeral scene, and this blew my mind because it is clearly very white, very nerdy, very American people making this show. And they come and there's rain coming down. I mean, everybody's there standing at the funeral, and Many Rivers to Cross by Jimmy Cliff comes on. And I went, what the fuck? I was like, this is incredible. I said, I have been wanting to put this in a funeral scene since I was 14 years old. Like, it's incredible.
Daredevil did it for you.
And I was like, that's great because, you know, I'm half Guyanese. You know, it's just right there in the Caribbean, you know, in the coast of South America. And, you know, a huge, huge, huge record in the 70s, you know, right in that area was The Harder They Come, you know, by Jimmy Cliff. And so that song is like the great ballad on that, you know, on that record. And I've been hearing it since since I was a little kid. And I was thinking to myself, once I got in a film and all sorts of stuff, I said, that should be in a fucking funeral scene somewhere.
I wonder who did the music for, I never checked on the
Whoever the director was, probably. Yeah.
Who chooses that? Is there someone? There's a music.
Sometimes there's like sound design, but there's
a music supervisor usually, and then there's also a because there's the guy who does the music who will like compose the theme song and stuff,
score and
the score. Yeah. But there's stuff soundtracking, and obviously you guys are film buffs, so you know George Lucas was the first guy to do that in a major film. Is it just put popular tunes? Right.
Was that American Graffiti?
Yeah, 74. And what was nuts about that is, you know, it was just so well put. Like, it just, it fit so well. And I think if it's something that big, it's probably the director. Like in Watchmen, where
Bob Dylan.
At the beginning, but in the funeral scene in Watchmen, when they start playing Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I was like, obviously, Zack Snyder was like, this song's going.
Yeah. There. Okay. You so know, a director could also say, in hey, old school, this track. Yeah. I guarantee in Juno that the director and the actors almost like hung out with Diablo Cody and
she is like that entire basically the entire film is her.
I forget his name, but he also did it's Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence
Silver Lining Playbook.
I was gonna say American Hustle, the other gangster movie that's
any
out.
Other movies they've done together.
That's awesome.
Oh man.
Yeah, all right, so you guys want to hop into genre 5?
Yeah, sure.
All right, cool, we're doing superhero movies.
Yeah.
Willis, go ahead with yours.
All right.
Change it up, sorry, Tony.
Now, what we've seen this week?
Yeah.
After?
Yeah.
Okay,
is
perfect,
that cool with
perfect,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll split them up since we're doing Blade 2 and Avengers afterwards. Spoilers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so genre 5, superhero movies. It's very strange because the superhero movie is not a new thing.
Right.
But it was perfected recently.
I was going to say, it was always a quality thing back then.
However, I'm going to start with the oldest one on my list, which is, I believe, 1979's Superman the movie.
All right.
Christopher Reeve's Superman is Superman, period, point blank.
How do you feel about Henry Cavill now?
I like Henry Cavill. Yeah.
Him walking out of that water, like with his shirt off, I was like, Jesus fuck,
that's
this
a big boy.
Yeah.
That's a big boy.
You can't act your way into a six pack.
No. Yeah. Now,
or pec muscles that are the size of my torso.
Right.
Like, Jesus
I
Christ.
I think that, you know, the physical embodiment of Superman, Henry Cavill's doing a great job.
Yeah.
That scene where he's not quite Superman yet, but he's in that diner and the guy goes to like hit him and he just like he's hitting a brick wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. But Clark Kent, I think, is the most important part of Superman.
Yeah.
Because Clark Kent is the indictment of the human race.
Right.
His
betrayal.
It's saying look how fucking weak and fragile and petty and stupid you are.
And they analyze that in Kill Bill 2.
Yeah,
and I love that analyzation.
And it's true because, you know, Bruce Wayne is kind of like
Batman's mask.
Yeah, no one would ever. Yeah, because you know, in Daredevil they say, you know, no one would ever look at a blind man twice. You know, of course. So obviously Matt Murdock can't be Daredevil, even though we see half his fucking face whenever he's the man in the mask.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. But the way that Christopher Reeve portrayed Superman, I mean, he's a fucking Juilliard trained actor. He's incredible. Him and Robin Williams were roommates and good friends, but there's just a...
That means that Kevin Conroy was with them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's insane.
It's a very strange, like, thing that he's doing because it's so over the top that you kind of miss the subtleties. Like, in the second one where he loses his powers and he's in the diner and getting beat up by those guys. And he's just going, don't hurt me, guys. And you're just thinking, okay, he's being goofy. But then you see it and you're like, shit, he is just shitting on us.
No, like, he just thinks, like, this will get him, this will let him know I'm just a human.
Yeah, right. Like, this is the most human thing I could come up with. And also the most
inconspicuous. Because that's what I've seen.
Yeah. And so, but that scene where he takes off and he flies for the first time in that movie is just like...
You will believe a man can fly.
Right.
Like the title.
You just
like
feel
a
like
thing.
A... Yeah, you feel like a little kid, like, when it's there and it's great. I mean,
hell
like,
yeah.
When I saw the trailer for Man of Steel and it has him putting his fist to the ground and the rocks start rising up, I was like, what? And then he, like, takes off and it shows the fucking sonic boom. I was like, I'm in.
And that's the great thing about Superman, because Superman is, you know, what we should all aspire to be.
Right.
And I think that our generation is kind of... shitty and entitled, and they feel like, oh, well, you know, I shouldn't have to look up to anybody. I should just be able to look across at my heroes. Like, no, they're heroes.
Right,
they're supposed to be better than you, and you should be striving to be better than yourself to be like them. Spider-Man fucking sucks. Let's just get it out there.
Oh, God damn you.
Let's just get it out there. He couldn't save his fucking girlfriend. He snapped her fucking neck. He needed help from the Fantastic Four all the goddamn time. Then, not only that, but in the middle of the most fucking critical dividing point in Marvel Comics, he just sides with the man first, and he doesn't see that it's all fucked up until the point where Tony Stark's like, oh, I don't know, maybe this is a bad idea. I'm talking about Civil War here, people.
Yeah. In my head, I'm like, I know what he's talking about, exactly. I think.
And it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's... I guess we'll be all right because he's in this fucking Iron Man made,
Iron Spider.
Yeah, the Iron Spider bullshit. And then he finally realizes, like, oh, okay, I should probably be with Captain fucking America and not registering people like the goddamn Gestapo. Yeah. So here's Spider-Man fucking sucks.
I love Spider-Man.
I'm just going to put it out there.
I love Spider-Man.
And that's the thing is that, like, I just don't see it. I don't get it. He's a nerd in real life.
Yeah.
He's a B to C list superhero.
Oh, what bullshit.
He's an A list superhero. Okay, all right. He's not an A list superhero.
Iron Man was a C list superhero until Robert Downey Jr. donned the fucking mask.
Bullshit.
People are like, Spider-Man, I'll suck his neck. No, he's amazing.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Here's why.
This is going to be a long list.
What
this might
I listen,
be a long day.
No, here's the thing. I listened to 36 Chambers Enter the Wu this morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know who's in the Wu-Tang Clan? Who was in the Wu-Tang Clan at that point?
ODB?
Yeah.
But now he's not?
Who's associated? Ghostface.
Yeah.
Ghostface Killer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One of his biggest albums.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Okay.
All right. Now, we know about Iron Man because you know why? Because he was in the Avengers.
Yeah. So Spider-Man.
In the comics.
So Spider-Man.
Yeah. When? When did Spider-Man
90s?
Get in there?
90s? Maybe 80s? Maybe 80s?
And then he got kicked out in the 90s with Wolverine.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Both are awesome additions.
Yeah. But now here's the thing, though. When shit is falling from the sky and the world is about to end, you call Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, and Captain America. You do not fucking call Spider-Man.
Yeah. He's got great villains, though, too.
Yes, he's got great villains.
And relatable to the younger person, because, like...
In New York.
Yeah.
He's got great... Here's the thing. All if right, something's happening in Bangladesh, and it's like, the world's about to fucking end, nobody's like, hey, who's got Spider-Man on speed dial? Nobody fucking asks. Mm-mm.
He can't get across an ocean.
Bypass that.
Exactly. It's like, oh, who's the guy who can fly at Mach 5? Like, call Tony Stark. That's what's going on. Or, hey, the God of Thunder. Like, let's do that. Those are the A-list superheroes who are just like... When shit's really going down, like if Galactus showed up or if, you know, any of those guys showed up, you're not calling fucking Spider-Man. That's not your first line of defense.
Yeah, usually Fantastic
So you're
Four.
Thinking strength also
dictates
A-list?
I thought like
you have to be a certain level.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not
like
talking
Vegeta
about...
Vegeta being like up there with Goku.
I'm not talking about fame. I'm not talking about who can sell
the most
toys.
Yeah, because he would definitely
be
an A-list superhero. He's like one of Marvel's biggest properties.
If you're walking the red carpet, like obviously Spider-Man's A-list. But I'm talking about... If there's a doomsday scenario, if there's a doomsday, like even not even power, because Batman's not that powerful.
Right.
But if there's a doomsday scenario in DC Comics, bet your ass Batman's on the front line.
I don't know. I guess that I always liked Spider-Man just because he was like the kid that went to high school that was always picked on, and then fucking like he puts on a mask and he's a completely different person and gets to go out and like experience the things that he wants to. And since he has like the whole guilt of his Uncle Ben dying, like he's always throwing himself out there for everyone else, and I thought that that's kind of cool. I know it's like a saviorish type thing.
That's a cool concept, but he gets his ass kicked too much.
A lot, but I mean, like still, he got shot by the Punisher and fucking.
That's part of the wounded warrior. Like, you're rooting for an underdog, and you like that.
Yeah, I see it.
But it was more relatable to me for the time when I started reading the comics when I was like 17, 16.
Did you get picked on?
Yeah, a little bit. And I mean, and I was a little
dude.
But then
you skateboarded your face off.
Yeah. And, but I was little too. And I mean, like, Peter Parker is like usually like...
a smaller guy.
This is a personal design. This is a personal enjoyment
Absolutely.
As well.
Well, I can relate more to the character.
Not just his powers are my favorite.
Exactly, yeah.
And so that was always a thing because like Batman and Iron Man to me, you know, because I talked about this last time, were so... incredible to me because that I got to relate to that, and it's not like, oh, they're rich and they can buy whatever. It's the fact that you are just a man.
Yeah.
You are not going to get bit by a radioactive spider. You're not going to survive getting hit by gamma rays. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? No god is going to just, you know, thunder his way into your fucking body and share your consciousness with you so you can turn into Thor whenever you fucking want. You know what I mean? None of that shit is going to happen. You're not going to go to another planet and the sun gives you superpowers.
Right.
However, you can take the tragedy that happens in your life,
and the billions of dollars you have.
Not necessarily. Here's the thing, because you know, a lot of other guys didn't have billions, but they take it. And here's the thing, Batman did not necessarily need billions of dollars to be the physical Batman.
Right.
Now, the mental part of it, yes, he needed to be able to travel around the world and do stuff. But I feel like training your body, you know, just completely taking yourself out of society and saying, this is what I'm going to do. Fuck everything else. Put the blinders on and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is my life. And dedicate that to building yourself up from the ruins of... You know, the tragedy. Of your tragedy.
Now, we've argued the insanity of that before. What the maniacal, like, narcissistic nature that you must have to assume that new mantle that's almost like a ripping of your own psyche.
But that line between greatness and madness is so fucking thin.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I was arguing, that it would be fucking awesome.
It would be, but like...
You're like, no, it'd be fucking terrifying. He'd be a psychopath.
It would be terrifying, just in the same fact that, like, if that happened in our world, people would be like, fuck, no,
They would be hunted like the Watchmen. Like, everyone would hate
them. And I feel like they show that well in the comics of, like, him seeing the world in black and white. There's usually, like, not a lot of gray area for him. Mm-mm. Like, that's why him and Superman butt heads so fucking much in the Justice League.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, he's like, Clark, you can't be the god. Like, he's like, no, you can't do this type of shit, you know? Like, I don't know.
Like I said, I am coming from the outside.
Yeah, but it would be sick as fuck if there was people that we could trust with billions of dollars that had cool toys that could fucking murder the whole planet if they wanted to. I mean, but I just don't think in our realistic time it works on comic books and in movies. Mm. But if you put that now, they would corrupt too easily, I think.
Here's the thing: if the Dragon X did not launch properly, actually the Dragon X could have launched. 4 or 5 years ago, and crashed into Washington, D.C., and blew everything the fuck up. Because anti-aircraft is not going to stop a falling spacecraft.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to get it into small enough pieces to neutralize the damage. Elon Musk, who was the modern inspiration for Tony Stark, he just revealed Tesla's big battery thing that's like a gigawatt hour or some shit like that. I mean, a guy like that is trying to put people on... He's trying to start a colony on fucking Mars.
Yeah.
Man. He docked his own space shuttle at ISS. Like, that's what Dragon X is.
Yo, dudes, I'm here.
Oh, no, you'd enjoy him. He is
Elon
incredible.
Musk is awesome. He's incredible. And he's one of those guys that is not a Ted Turner or a Howard Hughes, where it's like, I've got what would equivalent to billions of dollars, you know, now... And I'm just gonna dick off until I die. Like,
this is trying to make steps.
I will make a $20 million movie in the 50s.
Yeah, and so like, but Howard Hughes also though. Have you guys ever spent time in a hospital?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank Howard Hughes for the bed you slept in.
Oh,
because when Howard Hughes crashed that big ass plane, he invented the modern hospital bed because he was so stiff.
Huh.
Like laying there because he had a collapsed lung and both his legs were broken. He's all fucked up. And he got one hand free, you know, and sketched.
This would be better.
Yeah. To lift up and to be able to get a little more movement and shit. And it was like, oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, that's way better. Why didn't we think of that?
This will help immensely. Yeah.
So Elon Musk is like that, except he's got the vision. He's the guy who started PayPal with a friend of his.
Oh, nice.
He started PayPal, and that was the first step. Then he did Tesla Motors, so he's doing the electric car. And it's
PayPal, the Tesla Motors. It's quite the leap.
He kind of just does what he wants.
Yeah. And then SpaceX, you know, doing all that shit. So, I mean, he is incredible. And he actually has a very brief cameo in Iron Man 2.
Really?
At Monaco, where he's like, hey, I got this idea for this, you know, solar-powered plane or whatever. And Tony's like, okay, we'll work on it, blah, blah, blah. It's like right when him and Pepper are about to walk up to Justin Hammer at the bar.
Oh, okay,
so you
okay.
see Elon Musk for a quick second.
That's funny.
That's insane.
Anyway, number four. After Superman the movie, then I have...
I'm about to say we're at number two now.
Yeah. Then I have... Well, I had 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Oh, right on. So descending.
In my head, I'm like, what did we talk about?
Yeah.
Shit, we missed him.
We're talking about Elon Musk. He must be one of his favorites.
Favorite superhero movies. Elon Musk, yes. I have to say the number two and number one spot is probably The Dark Knight.
Yep.
And Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Oh, boom. Yeah, both are on my list.
And... Winter Soldier was just so fucking well done because they took everything that they learned to make a Marvel movie work. They put it there, and then they put a plot behind it that wasn't just like, this guy wants to blow up the world. It was so much, because it was like how Star Trek Into Darkness was basically about drones.
Yeah.
You know, or it's just like, you know, do you have the right to just launch something into space and hope it hits the right guy?
Yeah.
You know, do you have the right to do that? And what consequences do you have? Can you really trust your government? And that's kind of what this thing was. The secrets, you know, all this shit there. And you have one man on the ground, Captain America, who is a very convenient tool to have this incorruptible, you know, guy who did not go through the cynicism of the 70s.
He plays that role fucking perfect.
Perfectly, yeah, so great. In Civil War, you know, brief sidetrack, Spider-Man has a really great line about, you know, everybody talking about how crazy the Punisher is. He was like, you know, why wouldn't he fight Captain America? And he says, are you kidding me? That guy probably has every reason why he's there. It's like, they're the same guy, just different wars.
Yeah.
Like, the Punisher was in Vietnam, and you see what happened to him. And, you know, Captain America's in World War II, and he could turn out completely differently. Those guys had something to fight for. Those guys necessarily didn't.
Yeah.
And Captain America lived through that cynicism and Watergate and all that other shit. His morale probably would have been knocked down a couple of pegs. You know what I mean? He probably would have been a little less trusting and a little less optimistic. But here he's like, this is wrong. If I fix this, then the system might work.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going after that because that's the truth. I don't think that we're that far gone that if we were to just scrub it, it couldn't come back.
I got you. You know? Yeah. And so, that is kind of like his like mentality of it. Not only that, though, I felt like Captain America 2 was also like a tiny Avengers because they had Black Widow, Falcon.
Yeah.
Like they had like a team up and shit. And then Winter Soldier, they introduced him, which Marvel is doing this really awesome thing of just setting up everything perfectly. You're starting to see the moves. You're like, oh shit, that's like towards Civil War. Yep. Oh shit, that's towards like fucking, they mentioned Wakanda in fucking Avengers 2. Yep. And you're like, Black Panther, oh my God. Yep. And like the whole mining of vibranium and stuff. Like they're setting them up fucking perfect. My bad, you haven't seen Avengers 2. But it doesn't matter. It's not like a spoiler.
No.
I'm a little pissed off because I think I could have played T'Challa. It'd been fine. Whatever.
But T'Challa, yeah.
This is fine.
Which would have been sick if they would have added in Avengers 2. Like, did you talk to T'Challa? Like, that would have been just a cool throwaway line. You're like, oh, he exists!
Yes. Black Panther, he's coming!
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I think it's a great film. Not only that, but the stunts were incredible.
Yeah. I mean, very practical, too.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this before.
One of the incredible things is the fight scene with the French guy.
And the boat?
Yeah.
Insanely awesome.
Yeah. It's so good. And I love fight scenes and also, you know, and I love them. But the best thing about that was a little part that I don't think anybody really noticed is that when the guy grabs the knife and he's going after Chris Evans, when he throws the knife up to change it at another hand and stab him, he blocks it, but his eyes follow the knife.
Oh, that's sick.
And his eyes follow the knife. He goes, sets it up and hits the block. And I'm like, that is fucking real. That's real shit. Because everybody else in this, like these kung fu bullshit, even James Bond and Jason Bourne, they're just throwing up arms.
Yeah.
It's a dance. You know, they're just doing choreography. It's like, okay, I'm supposed to block now. I'm supposed to do this. But that looked so real. Where he looked up there, he's like, okay, there's the knife. It's coming over here. Block that. Hit him and counter. And I'm like, shit, there's somebody who knows how to fight choreographing this. This is incredible. Nice. You know, all the performances were great. We actually got to see Nick Fury do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you know, fucking ruled in that movie. Yeah, that whole storyline was so like espionage-y and stuff like that. Yeah, it felt
and,
really cool.
And I love spy movies and all
that.
I mean, that definitely
felt like a fucking Marvel spy movie.
Yeah, that's great.
And spy movie with a dude wearing a fucking outfit.
That's a good way to put it, yeah, because there were all those throwbacks to that era of classic spy, too.
Which I think is a great thing with Captain America that they're doing. Like, I thought the first Captain America was a blast to watch. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so much, it's a fucking World War II movie with a fucking supervillain.
Yeah.
Instead of Hitler, it's some dude with a crazy red skull. Yeah.
So, I mean,
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, that's great. the elf, this is his fucking name, Hugo Weaving is making so much fucking money. Jesus.
Oh, he does everything huge. Yeah. He's like, I'll show up.
Yeah, I'll come to this franchise. $multi-million
Oh, you guys want me there for 7 or 8 films?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I really want to see if he comes back, Red Skull.
Oh, he probably will.
I think he will, too. They're setting it
up. At least in flashbacks.
Yeah.
But The Dark Knight, I think, was the game changer.
Yeah.
And with, as well as the number 3, Iron Man, the first one.
Yep, agreed.
Those two movies came out around the same time, and they were competing with each other.
Dark Knight and Iron Man?
Yeah, because Batman Begins came out in like 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when The Dark Knight came out, it was a sequel. A lot of people don't treat The Dark Knight like it was a sequel.
It's a you perfect standalone movie.
Batman Begins, yeah. I think, because yeah. I love Batman Begins alone.
I watched them back to back like 2-3 weeks ago, and they fucking are so perfect together.
Yeah, yeah, I'm saying you can watch Dark Knight by itself and be satisfied, but it's getting so everything from Begins.
Yeah. And not only that, even if you watch the whole trilogy, the callback to Scarecrow and all that, like, it does work really well, but Dark Knight is the fucking, like, you know, it's the masterpiece. Movie. Yeah.
And I mean, it reminds me a lot of Heat, which is a really good movie that I like, you know, Michael Mann.
And I've been... That's one I'm hoping he watches along with...
Next week, we'll do Heat.
It's so there you go. Fucking good. Oh, my God. Michael Mann just has some incredible choreography. First of all, Val Kilmer has a ponytail.
Hell yeah.
Oh, watch it. Just watch it.
Val Kilmer in general. I love Val Kilmer.
And we just watched Collateral, too. Another gorgeous film. Yeah.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is one of my favorite movies, and it's because of him and Robert Downey Jr.
So, take this. Now, he was great in that.
Yeah.
But I feel like that is the last time I saw Val Kilmer. You know,
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
It was like the last time I saw the real him. You know, that started in Real Genius and like ended right about there.
Yeah,
you
know, that's about Salt and Sea time.
Yeah, because he just... Oh, that's a great movie. He's the trumpet player. Oh,
I know.
God,
him
good.
In the burning apartment playing trumpet. Great. I'm just fucking money in trance. That's another one.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I'll write it down.
I think it's just so... It reminds me a lot. Once you see Heat, you're going to be like, oh, fuck, The Dark Knight took a lot of stuff from this. But it's so good. Heath Ledger was incredible. I mean, all the players.
And they replaced Katie Holmes with the Gyllenhaal girl.
Thank God, because Katie Holmes just looks like she's on the verge of a mini stroke at all times. There is just something at the bottom of her lip. Just something is happening there where it's like
like Peter Petrelli from Heroes, kind of.
It's about to droop. It's not drooping, but it's about to droop.
Yeah, I guess Peter Petrelli has like a really hard one when he like opens his mouth and just like fucking falls.
Oh, he has. Yeah, he has lazy. Lazy bottom job.
Yeah.
That's weird, man. Like, why does her bottom lip look like Forrest Whitaker's eye? What the fuck is going on?
She's at knife point doing each scene.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's so funny.
What was your number
three?
Yeah, so
four? I've got
Iron
Superman.
Man three.
Yeah.
And then you didn't name four.
I've got because I went backwards.
Yeah.
I wibbly wobbly. You got too excited. It's a thing. See, people see time as a straight line causing.
Okay, Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Who?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll say Dr. Manhattan because he was like, you don't perceive time as I do. I can fuck you and make this thing. Look, three of me are finger banging you. I'm like, whoa, wow, and your dick's out.
Yeah.
The whole movie. No, good.
So you've got The Dark Knight, which it's such a fucking good film.
Yeah.
And I think The Dark Knight and The Godfather Part 2 are probably the greatest sequels ever made because. They are movies by themselves. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm one of the biggest Star Wars fans you ever want to meet, but The Empire Strikes Back is not a movie.
What? It works alone.
No,
it works alone.
No, it doesn't. It's
I feel like it does. I feel like I'd be like, watch this badass shit. They'd be like, man, I wonder what happens after this. And I'm like, there's another one with bears.
That sucks. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, but that's all right, because you just leave and you're like, don't worry. Yeah, shit's fucked up.
Yeah, it's an episode. Because you need Return of the Jedi for any sort of closure whatsoever.
And it was a dark note.
Yeah, and I don't...
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, but it's like...
Infinity War, I'm right here. The first part is ending like fucking
absolutely.
Empire. Yeah.
But what I want to say is, you know, at the end of that, had that been on TV, you know, it had been like, tune in next week. Yeah. You know,
well, the conclusion of Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Because it just happens, because like, okay, it could have ended where it's like, you know, he cuts off his hand, I'm your father, blah, 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 all this other shit. And had Luke just died, whatever, you could have ended it, and it would have just been a dark, sad movie. But Luke survives, gets his, you know, his fake hand put on, and Lando and Chewie go rescue Han. It's setting up the next film. So it's not a movie.
I guess Dark Knight doesn't... You don't need Rises afterwards. Because, like, I mean, like, Joker, they don't even fuck with in Rises.
Mm-mm.
Even though they do leave him open-ended.
Hanging, literally.
And, like... And, well, I mean, like, they do kind of set up the third one because, like, he's like, well, we'll have to chase you. Yeah, we'll run you down, you know? Not the hero the city deserves, but the ones it needs or whatever.
But
the
reason that works as a standalone film is because Batman is such a cultural icon.
Yeah.
That we know the story of Batman. There'll be another Batman movie sometime. There'll be more comic books or cartoons or whatever. So we don't necessarily need the conclusion of this film story because we're like, what happens to this character now? It's like, it's fucking Batman. You know what happens to the
character now. Is Empire your favorite Star Wars movie?
No.
Okay, which one is?
New Hope.
New Hope, yeah. That is a great film, but I don't know. Hoth, like, there's so much rad shit in Empire.
I love
Empire.
That, but here's the thing. The most important thing to me in Star Wars from being a child is Han Solo.
Okay.
And there's more Han Solo
But he has, I mean, yeah. I love you, I know. There's a
That's
great
line. Oh, that's man. Great. But after he gets frozen in carbonite, there is no more Han Solo from that until the end
just
of the movie.
Just an awesome fucking, well, I mean, dated star, like a fucking lightsaber yeah. fight, but still. yeah, I mean, like, dude, it's insane. Like, if you look at the third yeah, movie, they're all yeah. jumping around doing backflips yeah. and shit, and you look at this, and like, that dude's wearing a 90-pound fucking costume, yeah. just like, okay, I'm sweaty.
But have also, lunch? But also, I think one of the reasons how they, like, retrofitted the explanation is that people were a lot stronger with the Force back then, and, you know, more people were training since they were babies to do this stuff.
Yeah, Padawans. Yeah.
And since, but in the fourth movie, you've got to think, this is a man with no legs and what, one arm?
One arm, yeah.
No legs and one arm in a fucking breathing apparatus.
Yeah.
And what is probably a 90-year-old man.
Okay, yeah. All yeah. right, yeah.
And they're fighting, and it's like,
well, yeah, he died. Well, the kids were born, and they're, like, in their 20s, and he was probably, like, 25. So, yeah, he's probably around 50, I'd say. Like
no.
50, 45.
Obi-Wan wasn't 25 at the
no,
end.
No, 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 I'm saying yeah. Anakin.
Oh, yeah, Anakin.
Anakin
yeah.
was probably, like, 20, like, late 20s, yeah. let's say. And yeah. And then Luke is in early 20s, 22, 20. Yeah. Well, I, like,
because that's about, it's a, I think it's a 20-year gap between.
Yeah. So he'd be, like, 45, 50. But, yeah, I mean, still, I got you.
He's a 50-year-old dude with no legs,
yeah,
and
asthma.
One arm,
yeah.
and a breathing apparatus, and he can barely fucking see out of that goddamn helmet. What happens if it gets hot somewhere and he starts breathing hard and the thing fogs up? He's like, ah, fuck, hang on, hang on.
I gotta get something better
right.
than this.
He's got little wipers on the inside.
That'd be amazing.
You know? So there's that, and then Obi-Wan, who's clearly an old man. Like, Obi-Wan was probably like 34 at the end of the last movie. He's probably in his 60s or some shit
yeah.
like that.
Oh, yeah. I'd say that.
No, actually,
even 40s. I'd even say Ewan McGregor could have gone for 40s.
Yeah,
he'd probably be like close
because
to 60,
he was probably
70.
Like 25 in episode one.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
So I mean,
yeah,
like
he's still
like,
being trained. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, like shit, dude. He's an old man
yeah.
against a basically robot cripple,
mm-hmm.
and they're just like,
yeah.
It's just like a really geriatric women's tennis match. If you close your eyes,
that's funny. But what's weird is that, like, the Grievous, like, they made him, like, all super robotic, and he was super yeah. fast with everything. Why didn't they just hook up Darth Vader
you know
with that
why?
Shit?
Because they killed everyone who fixes shit.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
like, they did kind of go into, like, a yeah. darker time where they regressed, like, with the technology.
Yeah. Everything was so shitty because the Empire just shat on everyone.
Yeah.
It's like all the industry that was bustling in the galaxy was just done. Like, they just fucked everything. And I'm sure, like, Palpatine was like, oh, it's fine, you know, I'm rich, and we don't need anything. It's like, everything is shitty, dude. Everything.
Yeah.
Like, no one has cleaned a building in 25
yeah.
years, man. A
lot of sand buildup.
Yeah, like, how shitty everything on Tatooine is in the first movie, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's...
Did you name your fourth movie, or third?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was Iron Man, The Dark Knight, mm-hmm. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Superman, and the last movie I had is the original Avengers, the first Avengers
yeah.
film.
Honestly, since we
first
we'll, and we'll dive more into this,
yeah.
we won't talk about it now, but yeah, I wow, that movie is mind-blowing.
It's and part of it was I was in the Navy and I was on deployment at the time and we got shore leave. We went to, I think we were in Dubai or Bahrain, one of the two, and I got to sit in a theater with basically what is a love seat for a
yeah.
seat. It was like this big couch essentially with these massive cup holders and you got to recline
wow.
and watch the Avengers for the first time.
Wow.
You know, so it was great.
That's an awesome experience. All right, go ahead. Hit me
fuck
with yours.
Yeah. I don't know if I have any. I have Dark Knight on my list.
Okay.
No order except I'll give the last one. Watchmen
yep.
is on my list.
That's on
mine
as well.
That was very close for me.
I think you can read the comic like almost verbatim
yeah.
with the storyline. They took out like the comic book element of it to where like this kid's reading a book.
Yeah.
I can't remember
yeah.
what it's called, but some like pirate book that yeah. corresponds with the storyline
yeah.
and shit like that. And they took
the
out
squid.
Like the fucking psychologist.
Yeah.
That his whole storyline and shit too. But yeah, I think Watchmen's like one of like the perfect comic book movies.
Luckily, you know, these movies just stand as movies for me because I don't know the
right
the history.
Well, even Watchmen, I feel like that you watch that the whole thing and it's perfect ensemble of it.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's fantastic.
You don't even
it's
need
beautiful.
Like the before Watchmen stuff, which is cool. But I mean,
yeah.
like I like the way that they explained it, the comedian storyline, how he was like spanning both of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of cool shit in Watchmen.
I want to go out on a limb here and say, great.
Fuck Watchmen. No.
no, greatest opening credits sequence.
Fuck
yeah.
yes. Oh
ever.
My god, that
yeah,
dandelion and the gun, and then
yeah.
bam! I was like, woo!
Yep.
Jesus Christ! And it sets up everything. Like you
yep.
watch that sequence. And then the whole movie
sets
for the
whole
first
generation.
Time.
Yeah.
And then you go back and watch that sequence again. It
yeah.
hits so hard and perfect.
Times they are changing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
oh, Bob.
Oh, Bob.
I also have The Crow.
Nice. Oh, wow. Good job.
Yeah. I really, really fucking like The Crow.
Mm-hmm. Crow's great.
And then, like I said, I have more than five on my list.
Was that all of them? What you said? No. Dark Knight, Crow.
Watchmen, Dark Knight, Crow. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Fuck yeah. Is that on your list?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I have so much fun watching that. Yeah, and I don't know anything about the Guardians, but I just really enjoy Guardians of the fucking Galaxy.
Now, is that... I know it's a Marvel Comics thing, but who's a superhero in the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, I mean, they have a talking raccoon. That's pretty super.
Yeah, but I mean...
I know he doesn't have kind of
in
powers.
Terms of hero powers, the most powerful is Groot, by far, because he can extend himself like a Reed Richards or...
What about the...
encapsulate them and save them from an explosion.
The fucking blue dude.
Creates life, too. He can create
plant worker. What about the blue guy or whatever?
The villain? The super villain?
No, the... he was...
Oh, you're talking about the traitor, the other dude.
Merle from The Walking Dead?
No, not him. I'm talking about the fucking... the guy that was on their team. He was the big guy. He's, like, not usually an actor.
Oh, you're talking about
Dave Bautista. Yeah,
Bautista, thank you. I was like, Jesus Christ, oh, boy,
I guess he was just a really strong guy.
Yeah.
I thought he was red.
Oh, is he? All right,
He's red or gray or some bullshit.
Yeah, I thought the other dude was blue with red power ring on the top of his skull, and he could... Whistle that fucking sweet ass arrow
with the dance off,
that's
the bad Merle. Guy. No.
Merle's the dance off dude, right?
No,
he's the guy who comes up afterwards that he gives the fucking piece to, but he actually swapped it out for a
little troll.
Oh, okay. Right,
he's the guy that wants to catch.
Yeah.
Star-Lord.
Yeah.
I said Star-Killer. My bad. That was fucking Luke. That was the
original name for Luke. Yeah.
Yeah. Scott. Yeah. Well, wait. No.
The Adventures of Anakin Skywalker.
Star-Killer they used in fucking that video game, The Force Awakens. Yeah. Fuck, not the Force. Jesus Christ, I'm getting everything
Force,
wrong.
The Force Unleashed.
Thank you.
We're
the
fucked.
The
protagonist.
Main, yeah. He. He was Starkiller. All right, go ahead.
All right. last on the list, I mean, it could be one of many, because I have Batman and Batman Returns kind of as like a little...
Group.
Keaton Batman?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I like them. I think they're fun as
shit. I love Batman Returns.
They're good.
Batman does like put a bomb on a dude's chest and throw him down a sewer.
How unlike realistic or even like dated Batman, that shit is now.
Or just on Batman, because I don't remember Batman being like, here's a bomb, now you go down the sewer and then you're going to fucking blow up. Because I'm into murdering people.
Yeah. I just, you know, it was good for the time. I feel like it was the horse and buggy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it wasn't like, in its prime in terms of like, but it's a cool vision of it. Same with The Crow being not very superhero-y, but such a wonderful fucking atmosphere.
How I feel about Batman is that, like, you know, it's the horse and buggy. It was like, before, everybody was walking everywhere or riding horses and getting fucking saddle burn. And then they got in horse and buggy and they're like, oh man, this is cool. Like,
watch this.
It's like, dude, we can get across the state in like a week now instead of two. Like, this is incredible. And then they invented the Ferrari.
Yeah.
Which is Christopher Nolan's Batman films. And then you go, I don't need this fucking horse and buggy anymore. I'm good. That was fun, like, for when we needed it and we didn't have anything else.
Why would
we
ride this anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why the fuck would we have this now? Amish people are fucking crazy. Do you think Amish people have just never seen those movies? They've just taken the Michael Keaton Batmans on VHS and
That's all they think they need.
Like, no, we're good.
Yeah. And like I said, that was more of an honorary pick, along with Unbreakable.
Ooh, Unbreakable's fantastic. Yeah, that's a good one.
And that's last on my list. Yeah, Unbreakable is so uncommon a superhero movie, and it shouldn't be. There should be more so superhero movies that are that fucking beautiful.
That was innovative as fuck, too, because you went in it not thinking that it was a superhero movie, and then you're like, holy shit, this is a fucking superhero movie. This rules.
Yeah. Which, that movie makes me hate M. Night Shyamalan so fucking much.
Why? Because he has such potential.
He was so good. Like, that and Signs were so good.
Oh my god, I love the part where the alien, they show him in the walkway
and he just walks, stops. Oh my god.
It's the fucking the Bigfoot nod. Even the head turn, everything. I think that's so sick.
That was so good. And he was, because that and it, like, Songs About Jane makes me hate Maroon 5. Like, this is such a good record. What the fuck happened to you guys? Like, Unbreakable is such a good movie. What the fuck happened to you?
All right.
He even claims it as his favorite production.
Yeah,
M. Night.
Yeah,
he's like, I love that the most. I'm like, you should.
Also, by the way, guys, homework for you. When, and this includes the listeners, as soon as you're done listening to this, or as soon as we're done participating, you guys need to see Samuel L. Jackson falling down those steps on YouTube. Just look up. Look it
oh,
up.
Oh, boy.
And there's a cut where they put the ESPN music, the Sports Center music underneath them falling. Yes, he's falling. And as he puts his da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's so fucking funny.
That's incredible.
Oh my God. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I'll have to check that out. That's awesome.
Homework.
All right. So I got Watchmen, Captain America 2, Winter Soldier, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah,
I find that movie so
I love
fucking
Doc
fun.
Ock.
Not Amazing Spider-Man 2, but yeah, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2.
Yeah,
I fucking love that movie. Avengers made the list, and I'm throwing Daredevil series on there as well.
Oh, yeah,
cool. Because that's honestly like one of my favorite things that I've seen Marvel do. Even I saw after Avengers 2, I was like, I want to go watch Daredevil again.
Wow.
And had I not had to come here and watch City of God last week, I would have gone and seen Avengers 2
I'm
again.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. City of God was fucking incredible. That movie's beautiful.
Yes.
Obviously, you've heard us talk about it before.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's see. Do I have any... I'm trying to
think. Well, hang on. Run back through that.
It was Watchmen, Captain America 2, Winter Soldier, Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
Daredevil series. Oh, is that only four? And Iron Man.
Okay, yeah. Spider-Man 2, not the original, not the first Spider-Man.
I think Spider-Man 2 is fucking perfect.
Okay, but the first Spider-Man had Bruce Campbell, Macy Gray, and Macho Man Randy Savage. I'm just saying.
Oh, wait, Bruce Campbell was in Spider-Man 2, though, too, also.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, he's like, fix your tie.
Oh, that's right, all right, that's
do
right,
this,
that's right.
Do that. Oh, yeah, shoes untied. Sorry, you can't enter.
Yeah, so great.
Bonesaw. Yeah. Randy Savage was Bonesaw.
Bonesaw.
Yeah.
He's ready.
No, but I mean, I think Spider-Man 1 was awesome, but Spider-Man 2 fucking like went places, I feel. And
he's one of my favorite villains, Doc Ock.
Oh, yeah.
Completely agree. Like, his performance of it was fantastic. Was there another villain in that movie? Or was it just Doc Ock?
It was just him and Doc Ock fighting.
Thank God.
Yeah, well, the first one was just Green Goblin, right?
Oh, Willem Dafoe was so good.
Minus the fact that they fucking put that motorcycle helmet on his face. The most animated actor ever. They're like, we'll put this over his face. I'm like, what the fuck?
Because his voice is so fucking scary.
Yeah, no, his voice for Green Goblin was perfect. And like... they kind of went the opposite way in the Amazing Spider-Man 2 with that kid from Chronicle.
Yeah.
And they gave him like a lot of animation, which he has a really cool face and stuff, but I thought the weird thinning hair
maybe
shit
he's just
weird.
Like young Willem Dafoe. Maybe he's just that fucked up looking in the face. I don't know.
Yeah, no, he's got a really fucking sinister look about the dude. Like, those eyes
he reminds me of Macaulay Culkin now.
Yeah.
Well, wait.
But he's younger. So God forbid what he's going to look like
in
10 years.
If Macaulay Culkin didn't look like, if he didn't look sick, he just looked more evil.
Yeah.
I guess. Because that's the same kid in The Place Beyond the Pines.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
Ryan,
I have more
Ryan
of a
Gosling
pity feeling for, like, current Macaulay Culkin. I'm like, he looks sad. Give him a biscuit.
Yeah, somebody, it's like, dude,
give him some soup.
Not wasn't only he saved?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he's in the wheelchair.
Not only did Mila Kunis break up with him, but he looks like he needs to eat. So
that's tragic.
The two, like, that's a pretty hard 1-2 punch. It's like, you look like you're on heroin and Mila Kunis just fucking broke up.
Had it made for a while.
I heard that he wasn't even into her until he found out that she was the voice of Meg on Family Guy.
That's funny.
Yeah, like he was like, "Oh, you do that? That's awesome!" Like, actually respected her for her choices.
That's that's really funny because he's like, "Yeah, I saw American Psycho too. I'm Richie Rich. This shit's not gonna work."
That's awesome. All right. I don't think I have any. I mean, like, my honorable mentions were the same ones that you guys had on your list: Guardians of the Galaxy, all that type of shit.
I think my honorable mention might be, oh God, probably like Mystery Men or something.
Mystery Men was fun. I was going to say Walking Dead too. That's a great adaptation of a comic book as well.
Yeah. Okay. So comic books are just superhero.
Oh, I mean, superhero. Oh, okay. My bad. Then all right.
I was
take away. My
don't
bad.
Confuse it.
Strike it from the record.
Because if we were doing comic books, I was like,
there's
okay,
a lot of different adaptations of those.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But let's see. Superhero honorable mentions has to go to. I would say probably just
Blade.
But yeah, honestly, because Blade, people talk shit because they're like, oh, you know, Iron Man was the first time Marvel knew that they were I said, no, bullshit. Blade was a Marvel Comics movie, and it was rated R, and it still still made bank at the fucking box office.
Well, they made fucking three of them.
Yeah. And I mean, but that first one.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Was, and that's what I'm going to bring up later. Yeah. Is that first one.
That is okay. We can do this.
Yeah, Deacon Frost was this dude's like fucking main squeeze for a while. He loves Deacon fucking Frost, man.
Such a fucking good
movie. I love Stephen Dorff.
Yeah, he plays a great fucking villain in that movie. Yeah.
Let's not forget Wesley Snipes.
Oh, he killed it.
Height of his fucking power.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, great.
He was a great Blade. The look of him, everything about it. That fucking samurai sword cut through people, turned to ash.
He was also like cocky as fucking, like funny as hell.
Yeah.
Like,
the CGI felt
laughing at them as they're dying, like putting fucking burning them with lights just to torture them.
The CGI. Oh yeah, fucking the little fat little fucking dude. Yeah,
Blade.
What was his name?
Oh, shit. Something like Bloom.
Pearl, right? Pearl,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say Bloom.
Yeah. Blade and New Jack City, man. Like, those two movies. And, like, that's Wesley Snipes. Like, can we please get him in a part like that? Like, I want to make him a mob boss in a movie. Whenever I make...
No,
I think
he was out for Expendables.
Yeah, he was out for Expendables 3.
Demolition Man was fantastic as well.
Oh, my God.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, Demolition Man. He's never used the seashells, huh? Yeah.
But Taco Bell's.
But I want to make him, like, the kingpin of some awful, like, horrible mob corporation. And, like, to the point where he's, like, getting physical. Because he's not going to be, like, Vincent D'Onofrio and be all kind of morose and, like, oh, there's a backstory, so you should actually feel sorry for Kingpin. It's like, no. This man is evil.
I thought that was so cool.
No, you say just a different way.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Wesley would never.
No. Because Wesley Snipes is the perfect. He's so great to just be a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, because here's the thing. Everybody likes that. Again, it's the same thing why Spider-Man is popular now.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody likes to see the world for what it is. They don't think that there are just bad people out there. They think that there's, circumstances make people.
Right.
But no. There's a great little Russell Brand bit he does where he shows one of the great philosophers of the 20th century, whose name escapes me right now, who was in the same primary school class as Adolf Hitler.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, they're both like 8 or 10 or something like that. And he's just like, look at the look on Hitler's face. Look at it. You can tell. It's like, he wasn't as evil as he would be, but he's a right little shit right now. And it was so funny because you can tell, like, Hitler was probably a little shit before he ever got rejected from art school.
Yeah.
Like, he was just a little asshole.
Oh, so you're saying, I gotcha. Like, not every bat villain needs the fucking, like, sob story of, like, why he's like this. Some people are just fucking pieces of shit.
You want to know how I got these scars? Yeah. No. You're just No, you're just a bad person.
Yes. Like, I like those push pop ones. Like, you want to know how I got these scars? Yeah. It's those fucking classic push pops.
That's so funny. But it's so great because I would love to have him there because, like, Nino Brown does not seem like the type of guy who's like, oh, he just grew up in the wrong neighborhood. It's like, nah, Nino Brown could have been in the suburbs in fucking Beverly Hills and he would have been a fucking evil motherfucker. Like, this period, he's just been evil.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing. There's a great, what the fuck is the name of that book? It's, but it's about evil and us not recognizing it in the 20th century. Because this book was written maybe right after the Oklahoma City bombing. This is pre-9/11. And saying, like, you know, we don't know evil when we see it because we try and rationalize it into saying, oh, well, this person was just misguided. No, some people are just bad.
Yeah.
And I think that once you get out in the world and you live and you travel a bit, sometimes you'll see they're just bad fucking people out there. And I think that'd be a great villain. I think Wesley Snipes could really play that person because he's just an intense motherfucker. I love that.
And I feel like they should have, like, more of a movie of a base, someone that is based just in evil. That would be cool. All right. Let's hit weekly recommendations and rejections. I have Tales from the Dark Side. Just watched it on Netflix today.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Christian Slater's in the first one. It's kind of like a freak show. What?
Nice. I love Christian Slater.
Yeah, it's kind of like a freak show. It's the whole, like, this kid's reading a book to this lady that's about to cook him. She's been feeding him cookies and stuff. And that's, like, he's telling her stories, and then they show all of them. The dad from Dexter plays in the last one. Whole bunch of cool people in it. You would definitely know it. I would recommend it on Netflix now. It's a fun, like, hour and a half. Like, you know, it's not insane. The practical effects don't look great, but it's fun. It feels like Creepshow. I don't know if you ever seen Chillerama, but that's, like, one of my favorite fucking movies. Yeah. They have this, what was it, Spermzilla or some shit? Or Cumzilla.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it's just, like, this dude, like, I can't remember, like, he, like, comes, and then the sperm becomes, like, aware and, like, morphs and, like, takes her. It's but Chillerama is, like, a funny freak show, and this is, like, more like Freak Show or Tales from the Crypt, that sort of thing.
Okay, excellent.
That's the only thing I watched this week. Go ahead, what do you got?
Oh, all right. I watched the entire series of Chef's Table on Netflix. Okay.
Recommend or rejection?
Incredible. Yes, recommend it highly. If you're into high cuisine documentaries, it's a 6-part documentary, 6 chefs, and pretty much them explaining.
I feel like they just make me hungry.
Their nature. Oh, it's ridiculous. I've watched this. There's this guy named Magnus who has a restaurant called, I want to say it's called Frigane. Okay. It's something in Norway. Okay. But you literally, people have to fly to a pretty much abandoned airstrip.
Yeah.
Drive 50 fucking miles in negative weather to go there, but they do it. And his shit is so phenomenal.
Do you smoke?
But it's one of the. Do I what?
Do you smoke?
No.
Okay, here's the thing. You need to start smoking cigars. You do. Because here's the thing. This, I don't know if you guys know what Tony looks like, but Tony is fucking blessed with height. Here's why. He was able to be tall and be able to grow a good beard. Because here's the thing. If you were a short guy who couldn't carry a beard, you'd just be like, oh, that's just some fat dude. But because of the fact that you're like a super tall guy who can grow a great beard, you're like watching these culinary documentaries and just puffing on a cigar with your feet up at home. I would pay money to see
Orson Welles-ing my way just through Netflix documentaries.
Cool as shit. I'm like, this is the coolest shit I've ever heard of.
That's awesome.
Like, this man's just sitting there just like, yes. I'll write these down.
I see how you did that.
What else
you
got? Amazing.
There's, I just wanted to say one little thing that he does. He takes expired dairy cows that no one else will use. They'll euthanize them after they don't produce sweet dairy.
Mm-hmm.
He uses them, and instead of using cattle cow, he uses dairy cow, and the meat cuts that he gets off of them.
Oh, I bet they're amazing.
They're grass-fed. They can run. They can roam. They literally are treated like goddesses because they produce delicious milk. Don't stress them. Don't piss them off.
Yeah.
Be nice. Nobody thought about them for actual lean cuts
of
beautiful meat. And he takes them and fries them up and gets local herbs off of different trees, throws them in with a little oil from his root cellar that he is fermenting, like sitting down there for 10 years, puts a little oil, a little local root grass. Oh my gosh, barely cooks it. And it's just, it's phenomenal looking. He's the last one. He's the last of the 6-part.
If anyone at Marvel Studios is listening right now, you need to cast me in one of your fucking movies so I can afford to eat whatever this man is cooking.
Private jet to the fucking abandoned airstrip.
Honestly.
Yeah. Seriously, I will fly out and audition tomorrow. I don't give a fuck.
You're in.
Seriously.
Get Willis the money so he can go eat the food I'm talking about in the documentaries.
Yes.
And I'll join him and I'll look like Orson Welles puffing a cigar.
Be amazing.
The next movie, I've watched it before, but Draft Day with Kevin Costner.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Awesome movie. Just fun.
Very overlooked actor, Kevin Costner.
I love it.
Very
I love him.
Overlooked.
Absolutely love him. Even in Waterworld.
Yeah.
Don't mind
Drinking
it.
Drinking
pee. Yeah.
Dennis Hopper was in that, too.
Yes, he is, and he's incredible.
With his patch. Yes. His angry,
well,
angry
he's
got
to be evil, and you have to know when you look at him, so throw a patch
on
him.
Oh, he's phenomenal. Great bad.
And he smokes. And he smokes.
Definitely.
One of my favorite bad guys in Speed, Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great guy.
Awesome. Yeah, he was also another in True Romance.
Oh, you got his
yes.
Yeah, fucking
Gold
True
Watch.
Romance.
Yeah.
This guy. I love this guy.
You're a cantaloupe.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. That ruled. All right, go ahead.
Your great grandmother was an eggplant.
Yeah.
I haven't killed a man since 1984. Shot him in the fucking
You're an
face.
You're part eggplant.
Yeah, and he's just like, I love this guy.
The heavyweight champions of Lions, Sicilians. It's crazy. You know, women have pantomimes. Men, too. We know when you're lying, we can sniff it out. And I know that you're lying to me. You're not going to tell me the truth.
It's like the head bobble and the blinking.
I will take one
perfect.
Of those Chesterfields if you got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Spot on.
He's so fucking creepy. But, oh, man, that's just... And okay, so one
from Kevin Costner, we got to that.
Yeah.
You mention, first of all, The Untouchables is one of my favorite fucking, you know. Movies.
Hell yes.
What are you prepared to do? I fucking love that. Kevin Costner is great in that. But you were talking about Christian Slater, and me and Kate were sitting on the couch and just kind of hanging out one night, and I asked her because she loves all these like '90s girl films and all this other stuff, and I'm a big Christian Slater fan, so the cross section of that is Heathers.
Yes. Oh, fuck yeah. Heather's Rules. Yeah.
Such a fucking good movie, and she'd never seen it before. And
Whoa.
I was like,
way underrated, too.
And I hadn't seen that movie 12 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that movie in 12 years. And because I saw something about it on like I Love the 80s when I was in school, and I was like, oh, what's that? And I checked it out, and it was just like, oh my God, Fuck Me Gently with a Chainsaw is one of my favorite lines in any movie. I'm like, that's so funny. And it was just so quick, and Winona Ryder is just incredible, and Christian Slater with this like young Jack Nicholson look where his eyebrows are all up and shit.
You know, he's cool as shit.
He's so cool. Yeah, he's so cool as shit.
He reminds me of like if Elvis grew up in the same generation as Christian Slater, they'd be like bros. They'd hang out.
Oh my God,
that's a really good
because true romance. He's talking about that. You know, I ain't no queer or nothing, but if I had to fuck a man, I'd fuck Elvis. Just like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
he's so good in that. He's so good. You were talking about cows. I'm going to talk about pigs for a brief moment. Black Mirror. I don't know if you guys have heard of that series. It's a British television series. And, it's
fucked up. You bragged about it on your first time here. You were telling me about it.
Oh, my God. Black Mirror is so fucked up. It is awful. it's a show, and it's these little standalone hours of television. And the one episode I'm talking about is talking about information technology and all this sort of thing. Somebody kidnaps the princess of Wales or England or whatever the fuck. And they start making demands, and they say the prime minister has to go on television and fuck a pig.
Oh, shit.
Live on TV with no alterations and no camera changes. It has to be one constant camera angle.
Wow, that's fucked.
And it was like, and we will start hacking off body parts until you're serious. Do not try and come find us. Don't try and do anything. And so it was like, they said, okay, well, obviously we're not going to dignify this. This is stupid. And here's the thing. The chick who's in it, who's like his cabinet minister, is Captain Adelaide Brooke from The Waters of Mars, Doctor Who.
Okay,
so she's that chick, and she's also in the third season of Sherlock. The prime minister is M's number two guy in the Daniel Craig, James Bond movies.
Okay. Yeah.
I forget what the hell his name is now. But that guy who's always with M in Skyfall and Casino Royale and all those movies. He's the prime minister. And so now it goes to television, and they're like, you know, they're polling people, and like the things got out. I was like, should he fuck this pig? And everybody's like, no. And then when they do a sting operation, a reporter tries to get in the way, gets like shot in the leg, and they end up tracing a computer, but not the guy.
Oh, okay.
And so it comes out, and they get like a pinky in the mail.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all fucked up. And then the guy ends up having to do it. Like, he has to go and, like, fuck.
Because they're getting body parts and can't find them.
Just to fuck this pig on national television in the age of the internet where it will never die.
Good God.
And so the whole thing is like, should we do it? Is it moral? Should we do it? And it's all leading up to that. And eventually has to do it. And I'll let you watch the episode to see what the aftermath is. But it's one of the most...
It's a rated R British... sitcom?
Yeah.
Well, they can show like pretty much anything, can't they? Yeah. They don't really have like
they can say shits.
But I think they can say fuck like after 9 o'clock, like anything goes. Yeah. Kinda.
It's the concept of it that is so fucked up because it's not graphic. Yeah. It's not graphic because he gets in there and like the pig's there and he like throws up and like all this shit. And they like give him pills so he has to stay hard, you know, while he's doing
fuck.
It. And it's just like,
that's insane.
Yeah. It's just like,
that's
quite a process.
Yeah. What else you got, Tone?
Fuck. The only other thing I watched this week, noteworthy, the Kurt Cobain documentary Montage of Heck.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Just aired on HBO. Wonderful.
Oh, well.
My favorite, because I've seen some Nirvana or Kurt Cobain documentaries that I did not care for. They fell on their own art.
Yeah.
There's that Gus Van Sant one, but it's not like, it's not a documentary.
It's a retelling.
Yeah.
I can't fucking stand Kurt Cobain, so I mean. That's,
oh, right on. Yeah.
It was the most intimate, like, view of him, but he is... He was the most self-destructive force. Nothing in his life made him
happy.
It brought him that far. He literally was like, "Oh, I want to fuck it up."
Yeah, because here's the thing: I don't mind self-destruction because, like, that's half of what rock and roll was all about in the heyday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just the thing about Nirvana to me is that's not fucking rock and roll, and they just because it went from bad to worse for me, like. It was weird because there's some sort of disconnect in like the late 70s when like punk and disco and everything got got there.
Yeah.
And we kind of lost the way to rock and roll because a lot of those guys started having weird decades in the 80s.
So yeah, it was 80s, all decadence and fun.
The
and
80s, noise. All the guys who have like Poison and Rat and Warrant and yeah. Motley Crue, those guys saw the Stones and Led Zeppelin and the Who after they were already superstars. That's how they grew yeah. up. They didn't see Elvis and Scotty Moore and Little Richard and Chuck Berry. They saw like Van Halen and all this. They saw Mick Jagger in his big fucking fur coats and the sunglasses spectacle. And the big spectacle. Yeah. And they were like, oh, in order to be our lead man, leading front man, you've got to have super tight pants, your hair has to be super long, and your chest has to be exposed.
Be an entertainer, yeah.
yeah.
And it was like, no, it's about the music. Everything else was just kind of a glam up you know, to make the show entertaining. But they lost all of that. So now you have this soulless bullshit, you know, hair bands, and those, oh, well, we don't like that. And like Guns N' Roses is the last rock band I can think of. You know what I mean? The last great rock band I can really think of where it's like, here's a front man. Here's a, you know, here's the loud and gregarious front man. Here's the shy, quiet, virtuoso guitar player.
Yeah.
And the rest of the band, here they are with a bunch of fucking hits. Yeah. But then like that happens and there's this soulless thing and Guns N' Roses is trying to carry the torch. And then like all the hair bands basically die out in like 1991. Like St. Patrick's Day in 1990, they all shut down. Like, and then, like, grunge showed up, and it was like, oh, you know, we're gonna, you know, we're playing from the heart again, but it's like, oh, by the way, we're just staring at our shoes and singing about how much life sucks. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it was just,
I never got into any of the grunge.
I think that Eddie, Eddie Vedder's a great songwriter. I think Jeremy's a cool song. I think Better Man's a cool song. I just, dude, you're a fucking rock star. Like, act like it. Like, this is, like, what the fuck?
And that was, like, the disaffected youth was their whole
thing. You're not in the garage anymore.
But, like, I mean, like, he was kind of like a poet, like a poetry kid that was on stage in front of, like, a fucking
building. What the fuck do you think Jim Morrison was?
Yeah, well, I mean, but then he got all heroined out and rolled around and shit.
Yeah, and what the fuck do you think that Kurt Cobain did? He got all heroined out and, like, shot himself.
Yeah.
Because his back was all fucked up from carrying that guitar on the wrong side. But, like, you know, I mean, it's true. He had like a pinched nerve that he was in so much pain.
It was something to do with his intestines.
Mm-hmm. And then, like,
and he said, if I ever lose this, I might not be able to write depressing, angsty shit.
Right.
So he never fixed himself.
He's an idiot.
In a cycle that he's kept himself low.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shouldn't have been a fucking superstar. He shouldn't have been top of billboards. That kid literally should have.
He should have had a band and worked at a fucking Starbucks.
Yeah, chilled the fuck with himself. Yeah, and that's just he couldn't handle it, and Courtney didn't help anything.
We did get Dave Grohl out of that, so that's not.
We
all.
Definitely sure as fuck did. And Dave Grohl's the most humble fucker you'll ever listen to in documentaries from back then. And my last thing I saw was Leon the Professional.
Oh, right on. And again, you did as well. Yeah. What time can you stay till 6:45?
Now.
Is it now you gotta leave?
Kind of now.
Oh, fuck.
It's all good.
Well, we need to go test the Tony. You were the only one that watched it, I think. Ah,
Blade 2, 2002. Guillermo del Toro directed it.
Can excellent. You hang out till 6:45?
Maybe.
Okay, we'll go through. We hit this shit quick.
Yes, let's hit all it right. quick.
We got Avengers and Tessa Tony. Go, Tessa Tony.
All right, so 2002, Guillermo del Toro directed Blade 2, shockingly.
Crazy.
Did not know that. Solid concept. I don't know if it's based directly off the comics, but
I'm kind of doubting it, but who knows. Yeah.
It picks up where the other one left off.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of his first big movies, too. I think, if not his first
Guillermo?
Big movie, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking Devil's Backbone was before that, but big. You say big. Yeah. Devil's Backbone is indie as all fucking get out, but it's gorgeous. And I highly recommend it to everyone. I pretty much just gave the themes that I really liked and didn't like about the movie, but it is a test to Tony. When I first saw it, I didn't give much of a shit about it. I loved the practical makeup of the fucking Reapers in two, because in two, it's all about a Reaper strain that's killing vampires, and they're like crack addicts. They need to feed constantly. And the main one,
they made super vampires.
Yeah. And the main guy, you know, the first line in the movie that he kind of says that's iconic is vampires. I hate vampires.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to eat their throats, but not kill them.
Yeah.
It turns them into Reaper strains.
Because isn't even if they die, they still turn into Reapers, right? First of all, am I the only one who thought of Indiana Jones when he said that?
Oh, yeah.
Or like,
like Nazis. I hate these guys.
Oh.
I just thought of snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
That's awesome.
I just think of that when it's just like vampires. I hate vampires.
I mean, he's such a Harrison? Non-charismatic yeah. guy comparatively.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you know, it was through a fucking lens of a security video camera, so you didn't get the action you wanted from it. But I like the thought. He's like, oh, I'm not a fucking vampire, dude. I fucking hate them.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit, he's not a vampire. Yeah. What is he?
When I saw Blade 2, I was like, wow, this looks insane. I really like the, like, the CGI stepped forward a lot from the first one.
Yeah,
but the first one, storyline and story-wise,
I didn't need CG in the first one except for the parts that required it. Yeah. This one,
where the vampires popped
into
dust.
It was popping left and right. It had classic Blade style of neo-gothic
and the blood
industrial
god.
Shit. Yeah.
So cool.
But the Blood Pack, the people that are fighting him and opposing him, are just a hodgepodge team of
like Ron,
throwaways.
Ron Perlman like is some other people. Now, I have a question, because I haven't seen this movie in a long time, but I went back and I skimmed. Is that Asian guy the same dude from Ip Man?
It's Donnie Yen. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
And he did the fight choreographing for the film while he was in it.
I thought that was him, because I was like, that really looks like... And I want to give a shout out to Joe Penna, who works at one of my favorite bars, The Oracle, because he always has kung fu movies on when he works at the bar. And...
That's Donnie Yen,
And I was like, son of a bitch.
And they did not do 1/1,000,000th of what they could have done with him.
Oh my God.
In that film. They literally gave him about 60 seconds of swordplay in the beginning, and he dies in a cutscene.
Mm-hmm. Chris Christopherson is in that fucking movie.
Oh, like, yeah. He's old as hillbilly as fuck in that movie.
Oh my God. So,
what else you got?
Oh, okay. I thought we were still going about Chris Christopherson. Had some great Blade stylings. The opening makes you hope for what you saw in Blade, but then it slowly dissipates into these killable throwaway actors doing throwaway things.
Yeah. That happens in a lot of movies.
They're immune to garlic and they're immune to silver.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
They're hybrids.
Oh, daylight. Oh, my. I mean, you can see every plot point coming a mile away, and then... When you can rewrite the movie while you're watching it, or you can predict the entire fucking plot, it really does numb you to anything. So I give it a 50-50, honestly.
So it didn't pass, but it didn't fail?
It didn't pass, but it didn't fail. It has gems.
Now, but the first time you saw it, it failed.
The first time I saw it, it failed because
Blade
I was so fucking excited.
That's a hard,
and it's rated
that's a hard act to follow,
But it still, it honestly didn't... I mean, honest. Everything has to be a little shinier. So he has new clips on his vest that are real, like tribal and awesome looking. Give me those old fucking awesome clasps that he had on the original. Yeah. The original vest he had was perfect. There was no reason to update for me, but I understand why a film franchise has to. Yeah,
yeah, make him look cooler. We can sell. We can sell different toys.
I always get pissy. Yeah, I always get pissy because I'm like, but he doesn't look cooler. He just looks.
Shinier.
Like you put a 2.0 on him.
Yeah.
It doesn't do shit for
it's
me.
It's the reason why Han Solo wears a different outfit in every Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
We can sell more toys. We can sell more merchandise.
Yeah, no, that's the green shirt version. Yeah, and you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Well, yeah, same thing with Luke Skywalker, too. I mean, there's so many different versions of him out there. All right, so 50-50, didn't pass, didn't fail. That's the first one that we've had, like, a tie on.
Yeah, that one I can watch and enjoy, but I'm also just sad because of what it could have been.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
all right, fair enough. Well, in short, in-depth on Avengers, I mean...
No, I don't want to cut you guys. I seriously... Do you guys mind if I head out, but you guys run the in-depth? I mean,
you're both
the comic book, like... gurus of the three here.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I don't want to cut you guys short.
No, honestly, it's it's totally fine with me if we do a 10-minute in-depth on Avengers, and we need to figure out what we're going to do
for next week.
I mean, honestly, like, we're doing Heat for the in-depth next week, and what's Test of Tony going to be?
Shoot, let me think. What's a good kind of crap? Hellboy.
All right, first one?
Sure.
Yeah. Ron Perlman will just take a...
I was on that level of Ron Perlman. Yeah.
Golden Army is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, let's not talk about that, because that's...
Guillermo del Toro as well.
Guillermo gorgeousness.
That's what I thought was cool, that Ron Perlman was in Blade, too, because I'm sure Guillermo... He's worked
liked
with that
him,
dude fucking...
Yeah.
With, Pacific Rim. Yeah.
What the fuck is her name? Selma Blair.
Selma Blair.
Where the fuck happened to her?
She probably got some money and was like, peace.
You know what?
She was like, oh, Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. Women do not last long in Hollywood, dude. Unless you were like a Meryl Streep type, you know, person.
Yeah.
You do not.
To where you're that Academy goddess.
You have about 10 good years and then you're gone.
I love the outskirtsy chicks like Chloe Sevigny from Kids.
Oh,
came from Kids. As well, I followed her career and I absolutely adore her, even in like movies where no one really cared for the film. Zodiac. She's fucking awesome in Zodiac.
Great. Great. Fucking, is Robert Downey Jr.'s in that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. Jake Gyllenhaal. Yes. Oh,
fan fucking tastic film.
Great movie.
Yeah, I saw that in The Soloist, like right around each other, too. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
It's like watching Illusionist and Prestige.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get like two good films in there
where he's a reporter in both.
Yeah. I also wanted to make a mention, if anyone wants to, I'm going to be watching the movie Spy Game, because you guys were talking about spy movies.
Oh my fucking
and
God, yes.
I was hoping you would fucking love that fucking film.
Here's the thing, guys. Brad Pitt and Robert Redford are the same man separated by a wormhole.
Yes.
That is all that happened.
Yeah, you're looking at a young and a really nice patinaed version of him.
Yeah.
The same man.
And he's saying that because he doesn't want to say that, you know, Robert Redford looks like your old catcher's mitt from when you were a kid. But like, I mean, it's true. But I mean, the man is a great actor. He always has been. And Brad Pitt is phenomenal in it. And it's so fucking good. It's just,
I'm just giving you guys pretty much like a, hey, I plan on watching that film this right week.
Cool.
But yeah.
I mean, we're already at 79 minutes. So a quick in-depth. If not, if you got to go, go.
I do.
All right, buddy. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yes. I did want to say something. Holy fuck, $1.5 billion was grossed for Avengers.
Yeah.
Fucking fuck.
Worldwide, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines is Bruce Banner shot himself in the face and the other guy spit it out. He's like, I tried to kill myself. Yeah. He's like, but I woke up and the other dude spit out the fucking bullet and ruined this town. I was like, that is fucking sick.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We could do this.
Yeah, let's go real quick.
Are you coming back? I mean,
yeah, if you want to, man.
We were discussing the stuff. I didn't know if he was coming for a third rounder.
Yeah, that's totally fine with me.
Dude, I'd love
it. When should we do Avengers then?
We just throw it in.
What?
We just throw it in next week if you
want. Next week.
Okay, so we'll just do the in-depth on Avengers next week.
Yeah, it's up to you.
So then we're not doing Heat.
Oh, no, we'll just do them both. Why not?
Okay. Well, all right.
We can do a standalone Avengers episode all by itself, like a little mini episode.
Yeah, honestly. all right, yeah, fuck it. We'll do Heat and
it's
Avengers.
It's up to you, babe, dog.
We can talk a little bit about Avengers.
Don't make me put you on the spot, girl.
I don't need to go super in-depth on Avengers because I feel it's awesome.
I think everyone knows Avengers because they made $1.5 fucking billion on
it. Yeah, yeah,
I do have a story about the Avengers and right when it came out that I do want to tell. And I'll tell this story and we can end the podcast and you can go.
Hit me.
All right, so the year is 2012. I am coming off my final deployment in the United States Navy. I'm getting ready to go home. I'm in Bahrain. It's during the revolution, and I'm at a bar that is friendly to Americans and civilian workers. I went out with a buddy named Rogers that day, who I was positive was a gay man. So I went out with him. He was like, you know, you have to have liberty buddies when you go out in the Navy. He was like, Gav, one guy just in case you get snatched up by somebody. You know, people know where you're at all times.
Yeah.
So you go out there. And we're going out and we're having drinks and everything. And we're sitting in this dusty little bar. And these two blonde twins walk in. Gorgeous. Drop dead gorgeous women walk in there. Two blonde twins. They're almost 6 feet tall. And they're dressed to kill. And every head in the bar turns to look at them. And I went, holy shit. So we're sitting there and I'm having my drinks and they're swamped. And he's like, you know, you should go over there and talk to him. Rogers tells me, go over there, talk to him. I said, nah, they're surrounded right now. This is not going to work. So I sent over, you know, to top off their drinks. I said, okay, one's got a martini, one's got a Long Island. You know, just give them the next round's on me. And I said, get up, we're leaving. He says, what? We're leaving. So we got up and left after we bought them the drinks. We went over to another hotel, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was like the Gulf Hotel or something in Bahrain. And we went there, went up, smoked cigars in the fucking hotel bar, you know, drank, flirted with the waitress, did whatever we needed to do, waited about 45 minutes to an hour, and came back. When we went back in there, they were literally surrounded at the bar by guys. And I caught one of their eyes, you know, coming over, and I said, and I mouthed, do you need help? And she's just like, yes. And so, of course, I waltzed through the crowd, and I'm like, oh, there you are. We've been looking for you all night. And, like, grabbed her and pulled her out. And, like, and you know, he pulled the other one, and so they did it, and everybody was like, oh, fuck. And so we sit down at the table, and we're all talking, you know, just being sailors, you know, raconteurs, talking, drinking, doing all this stuff. And I start to make out with the one girl, And I look over and Rogers is making out with the other one. I said, what the fuck? I was like, I'm pretty sure you're gay, dude. What's going on? And apparently he's bisexual. I had no idea.
Ah, fair enough.
And then something happened and we switched girls.
Wow.
Ah. He took her into the bathroom and I took one outside. And we started talking. And I just said to myself, I said, fuck it. I'm never going to be in this country again unless I have some reason to perform here in the future. I'm probably never going to see this person again. Let me see how hard I can fuck with this person until they call me on it. So, like, asking, you know, about names and this, that, and the other. And it was like, what's your name? And I said my name. But the whole time, she was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, you know, well, I run this company. And we're out here. We're doing. I basically sell weapons to the military.
Yeah.
And we're testing one in the morning. It's this really great missile that I have. And,
called
you
the
know,
Jericho.
Exactly.
Fuck yes.
Exactly.
So you pretended you were Tony Stark.
I told her. Jeez. I told her every detail. Like my parents died in a car wreck when I was like 16.
Holy shit.
I was selling weapons to the you know to the military and all this shit. And it's like you know my family owns this hotel. This and the other. Blah blah. And like it was every detail of Tony Stark's life right up until the night he got hit by the convoy.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as the convoy got hit. So I was basically the next morning Iron Man would have started.
Wow.
So like I was going to get kidnapped in the morning and have shrapnel in my chest like the next morning. And here's the thing. I did that because I didn't do something obscure. Avengers had opened up to the biggest fucking weekend like ever.
Yeah.
And like besides Harry Potter ever. And like everyone has seen Iron Man 1 and 2. Everybody knows about the Avengers. It literally just came out like maybe a week before.
Yeah.
And it's huge. It's everywhere. If you don't know Iron Man, you've been living under a fucking rock. So
yeah.
I'm like
yeah.
Obviously it was going to be like, oh haha, this is a joke.
Yeah.
But she didn't catch on. And so I just kept going and I was like, "Wait a minute. Do you really not know who the fuck Tony Stark is?" And so I literally went up there to talk about like my buddy, like I gotta get, you know, eventually I gotta get back and see my buddy, you know, Colonel Rhodes, and we'll do this. And it's like nothing.
Colonel Rhodes.
Nothing. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And so I fucked her in the parking lot. And then,
thanks a lot, Pepper.
Oh yeah, Pepper Pot's
and
nice.
Then like I got like my buddy's like calling me, we got in the van, like went back to, you know, to the ship. And every once in a while, I'll think to myself, there's only three ways that could have gone down. Like, the aftermath of that could have gone down for her. One, she just never knows, and she thinks that she fucked some billionaire playboy in Bahrain. Two, she tells one of her friends about it,
and
they went, you know that's just the plot to Iron Man, right? And she just felt like a dumbass. Or...
Oh, wow.
Which I really want that to have happened, but then she'd actually probably be mad at me. But the other thing, the third thing that could have happened is that by some miracle, she just saw it on Netflix or some shit like that or something. And she just sat down to watch it and it just slowly started to dawn on her that all these details came from a movie.
Now, the fourth. What if she didn't know it was based off comic books and thought that someone made a movie about
my life?
That's fantastic. I thought you were going to say that you met up with your friend Rogers, and he was like, I told her I was Captain America. She blew me.
Jesus.
That's but amazing.
Yeah, like, so I did that, and it was just, I told somebody that I was essentially Tony Stark.
Fantastic.
And yeah,
it worked.
It worked. And I'm like, that is fucking ridiculous because they didn't get it. I'm like, how? What? What?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I drank scotch with the Prince of Bahrain and I fucked somebody saying that I was Tony Stark. That was a decent summer.
I would say. All right. So we're doing Heat.
Yep.
And we're doing Test of Tony was what? Hellboy.
Hellboy.
And all right. Then we'll think of a new genre 5.
Yeah.
Until next time, go burn books.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production. Executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.
Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.